Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. USC Spring Football 2023 kicked off on a Sunday. A little bit weird starting date, but we're going to talk about USC going into spring football with the coach, Harvey Hyde. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or go to his website, HarveyHyde.com, for all of his content. If you have questions, comments, concerns for the show, you can email us, podcast@uscfootball.com, or call or text us at 424-254-9141. We've got a voicemail for you a little bit later on the show. You can send us a text to that number as well. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, please follow the Peristyle Podcast. Leave us a five-star rating and review. We really appreciate that, and it does help grow the show. And, you know, you got a friend that loves USC football. We are getting into it with all the USC football content this spring. So make sure you tell them about the Peristyle Podcast and get them involved as well. We love getting the coach involved. He's on the line right now. Coach, how you doing, sir?
Ryan, I'm doing great. It's a little nippy, no rain, clear, game day, getting ready for the Big Ten. I guess that's the way you say it. It's Big Ten weather.
It is Big Ten weather around here. It's a little chilly. I'm in the studio right now, and yeah, it's a little chilly outside. It rained a bunch yesterday. It's been we're getting some weird weather. It's funny. I had a chance to chat with Benny Wiley a little bit. We put up the interview over on USCFootball.com, or notes from the interview in our war room last week, and he kind of liked that. And one of the aspects of what he wanted to get done, Coach, was building up the toughness of this team. And when you get to practice and, you know, they're doing these workouts at 6 a.m. and it's hailing, or, you know, we had hail last week in LA. I think that helps, you know, it kind of like gets you toughened up. He mentioned the same thing, that it's Big Ten weather. So I don't know. Did you ever do that? You know, when you're coaching in Vegas, hoping for some bad weather to have the players work out in?
No, I used it a lot of recruiting. I used to say somewhere in the world, it's hotter than Vegas. That's why we'll practice in Vegas, and that's why we'll schedule our games in the afternoon in Vegas. And when I used to talk about recruiting, I'd say, why would you want to go there? If you like it up there at Laramie, if you like it up there at Colorado, why don't you just go down to one of the markets around town and sit in their freezer? I said, that'd be a pretty good idea. I'd come by and see you, and I'd say, how are you, pretty happy in there? And, you know, I can use that. But, yeah, it's quite a difference as far as playing in the heat or playing in the cold, and you use that as an advantage for you. As far as I remember, we played our championship game at Utah State, and they came out and warmed up in short-sleeved jerseys with them cut off. You know, when you used to cut off the jerseys, my guys had never seen snow and so on. They looked like they were going camping with all these gloves and everything they had on. So I told him when we went back in, I'd say, you take all that stuff off. Because when they came out for warm-ups, they intimidated us. Because our guys are freezing, and they're running around in short sleeves. So we had to sort of come back, and thank God, goodness we won that football game. But it was, a lot of weather, a lot of different situations. You got to get used to it.
Where was that one, Coach, and who were you playing?
Logan, Utah. Utah State.
Oh, yeah.
And we played up there, and I remember that morning we were having our pregame, and the snow was coming down. You couldn't even see outside. They were talking about a blizzard coming through. So I came down in my shorts and a T-shirt, and I walked out the door and went for a jog. And about 30 minutes later, I came back. I had snow all over me and so on. And, you know, our kids looked at me and they said, if that old man can go out and run in this thing, we ought to be able to play in this. And I sort of passed on a message to them without saying anything, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And it felt like, you know, talking to Benny Wiley, they're, you know, kind of passing on a message that they're out there at 6 a.m. and it's unseasonably cold and rainy, which we don't really get in Los Angeles. And kind of, you know, it's, I guess anything that you can throw a curveball, you don't get into a routine, you can do a little different, you know? And if the players are fine, you know, running gassers or doing whatever they're doing, all these conditioning drills when it's like mild weather at 6 a.m. versus cold and rainy, I guess you kind of get their attention a little bit.
You do, and you need to do that. You really do, because all of a sudden you find out that rain isn't going to kill you. It isn't going to hurt you. You shower in it. You swim in it. You look at it. You do all these different things. All you need to do is learn to play in it. And if you wear the right cleats and call the right plays and run the right defenses, you get used to it. But there's only certain things you can do in certain type of conditions and field conditions that will hurt you if you try to do things that you can't do.
Yeah. Well, the winter workouts are done, those off-season workouts. We are now into spring football, and there's been one practice. It was Sunday morning. There will be another practice on Tuesday, and then one on Wednesday where the media will actually get to watch them and do some interviews. But Sundays was closed. Tuesdays will be closed, and then we'll be able to see the team for the first time Wednesday. The new numbers are out. We did a tunnel vision show Sunday night if you want to. We kind of went through some of the numbers and position changes and all that kind of stuff. But, Coach, for you, before we jumped in, you know, one of the things you mentioned right before we went to air was about, is the honeymoon over? And I thought that was a really good point for spring football. Just kind of tell me about what you mean by that and then what your sort of expectations are to see out there for USC this spring.
Well, you know, sort of last year when Lincoln Riley and his new staff came in, it was sort of a marriage, you know. It was everybody was getting together and everybody was going to have a nice reception and everybody's accepted USC, the new football program, the change in the coaching staff. Everything was just positive, and it's always positive when you make a coaching change. But then now you set the stage for an 11-3 record. You set the stage for what needs to be improved and what you did well, and you won a Heisman Trophy and all of the above, and now people expect more. So does that mean that the honeymoon's over? Now you've got to start raising the kids. You've got to raise the standards. You've got to start getting better at things that you need to do to be able to win a Pac-12 championship, which hasn't been accomplished at SC for a while. And if you're talking about going to the playoffs, then you got to really get better in a lot of areas that we talked about. So the honeymoon now is over. The first year now of your marriage and getting started with new recruits and returning recruits and the party and the challenges that are going to be facing USC and the publicity that USC has had, the new coaching changes in the Pac-12. I mean, everybody's coming after Trojans. Washington's a better football program. Everybody's mad at them this year because they're leaving the conference along with UCLA, and they've screwed up everything by doing this, causing the Pac-12. What's the future of the Pac-12? So, you know, now they've got to gear up and leave it in great style and prove to the Pac-12 that, hey, this is why we're leaving, because we're better than you. And we want to play at a different level. And, you know, the most embarrassing thing would be if you were to leave now after this year and you didn't have a great year. That would be a little bit embarrassing. So, you know, I think you got to get better. You got to be positive. Your fans are expecting more. So I call it, hey, guys, the honeymoon's over. It's time for us to get after it. I'm not introducing myself anymore to you. You don't get a second or third chance at making a mistake. You're a returner. It's time now we go out and we play some football.
Yeah, time to go play some football. And that's a really good point, Coach. With it would be embarrassing if you kind of go out on a bad note. And, you know, you had 2 years, one 11-win, you know, season, and you didn't win the Pac-12. And if you don't win it again, it's sort of like you're limping into the Big Ten. Some of it's just momentum, right? Like building some momentum to go into the Big Ten. If you get worse in year two, things are only going to get ramped up when you get to the Big Ten. So, yeah, I think it's like that's a good point. I mean, you want to there's a lot of pressure on this season, not just to improve on what you did in year one, but to set yourself on the right path to go into the Big Ten.
You're exactly right. And the Big Ten is looking forward for your arrival. Believe me, they are. They want to prove to you that they are a better conference. And when they come to Southern California to either play in the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl, they're going to be fired up. But a lot of these teams haven't been to Southern California for a long time. When's the last time Minnesota played in the Rose Bowl? Or when's the last time Iowa played in the Coliseum? Hey, I'm telling you, this is going to be a big event for them, a big travel event for them, a special travel event for them. And when they come to town back there, there's not much else going on in those cities, so it's almost like a mini Rose Bowl game for them. So this is going to be where you really have to now do a lot of improving, not embarrass yourself, and be ready to represent yourself in Southern California and why you made the decision to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and I'm sure those schools in the Big Ten are ready to kind of teach the LA schools something about Midwest football, right? So there's a lot riding on this season. But just any, you know, we haven't got to see anything yet for spring football practice. It's kind of weird because they're going to take almost a 2-week break, you know, going from Wednesday practice, and then they have a week off for spring break, and then they come back on the following Tuesday. But kind of any thoughts on sort of the way spring practice is set up, Coach?
Well, it's sort of weird. I don't think I've ever seen that before, where you practice three days during a week and then give them 12 days off. To me, I look at it and I say, man, you wasted your 3 days, because by the time you bring these guys all back, they're going to forget what you went over the first 3 days. So what I think this basically is, the first 3 days, I think it's going to be a mini camp. I think it's going to be like the NFL, a mini camp, where they're going to evaluate all their personnel, new personnel, freshmen that are in there, everything, make sure they get tape on all of them, and they're going to make sure that they place them in the right positions before they come out and do it in another practice. They want to get their players on the football field, and they want to evaluate them, and that'll give them a period of time to evaluate them, make sure they're in the right positions. They don't want to waste practicing players at a position where they may not play. And if they have three good practices and evaluate their new players, and they got a lot of new players, including freshmen, then they've got to be able to do that and utilize it. And when they come back, make sure they're in the right positions and go. Like, who's going to be the weak side linebacker? Who's going to be a strong side linebacker? Who's the best edge guy? Who's the best down guy? Who's going to be, you know, a running back that does this or that or whatever? Where's Branch going to play? Is he going to be an outside guy or inside guy? Well, you're going to be able to evaluate all this during the three-day period and then have 10 days or so to evaluate it, and when they come back, put them in the right position. That's the only reason. That would be the only reason, unless they have a spring break in there too, that would be the only reason I would break these practices down like that. I have no other reason, because it almost is like you're wasting 3 days.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good theory, though, Coach, of what they're doing, because there are, you know, I think there's, I believe it's, you know, 10 early enrollees and 11 transfers, but there's, you know, like 20 new players that are going to be out there on the practice field, and just sort of getting like a mini camp where you kind of get a feel for what you have, and you have some time to kind of go over things and then really lock in for the last 4 weeks of what you want to see from these new guys. It's like, you know, you get a glimpse of them and you're like, okay, well, we really want to see him here, or we want to see this guy over there. So yeah, maybe that's kind of the reasoning, you know, behind what Lincoln Riley's doing there. Before we get to questions and stuff, I just kind of want to get your thoughts. What are you, when you go out there and check out practice, is there one area of the team that you really want to look at and observe, and you know, where that you think the USC coaches kind of need to put the most emphasis?
Well, I'll tell you, Ryan, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to be there Wednesday too. And first thing I'm going to do is, I don't know where you're going to be standing, but I'm going to be standing right by the gate, okay? I don't care if I get in practice or not the first portion. I'm not going to fill out all the paperwork if they're coming on the field. I want to eyeball with a roster every single player that comes in. I want to look at him. I want to look at his body shape. I want to look at the length of his arms, his hands, size of his hands. I want to look and see what he looks like in a uniform. If he looks me in the eyes or he's looking straight ahead, I want to evaluate them all. I do. I like that. Or if I say, hi, how you doing? Does he answer me or not? And if the coaches, when they run by, if they say, hey, good afternoon, guys, or how you doing? I want to get the real feel of an atmosphere if they like that we're there. And we're going to watch them. And this is a big practice on Wednesday. And I'm going to look at every single player. I'm going to have Chuck Hayes with me. He's going to read me off every number that he sees coming, especially the new players. Like, I want to see Lucas up close. I want to see some of these guys up close, the linemen from Florida and so on. But, you know, I watched Florida play last year. They didn't really impress me that much. They didn't run the football that well, whatever. I want to watch these guys. I want to eyeball these guys, okay? Yes, they played in the Southeastern Conference, but that's that. Everything that impresses me, but yet you got to be able to play and win in the Southeastern Conference. Like the running back from South Carolina, I like him on film. I think he's a good back, but I want to see him and eyeball him. So the first thing I'm going to do is eyeball all the players coming through the gate, okay? And when they come through the gate and so on, then I guess we got our 20 minutes or whatever it is to go in the gate. And then I don't know where we're going to be able to roam or what we're going to be, and if we're going to be back in the playpen or if we're going to have enough, you know, room to walk up and down the field and see different groups. Then, of course, I'm going to try to watch the athletic ability of the new players. I'm going to try to get an evaluation as close as I can to the new players rather than the returning players, because I have a feeling on them a little bit. I want to see, can these guys really help? Are they really better than what's returning as far as for the 15 or 20 minutes I have an opportunity to watch them, which is not very much time, as you know. And then I'll sort of put my own feelings together. Do I think they have better personnel? Are these guys bigger, stronger, and so on? Are they going to be better on the defensive side of the football and so on? And again, that's not a lot of time to evaluate anything. But that's what I'm going to try to do in the 15 or 20 minutes that we're at practice on Wednesday.
That's great, Coach. It'll be good to just see them out in their uniforms, what they look like, how they walk in, like all of that, like you said. I'm looking forward to doing that as well. All right, why don't we take a quick break, and we will come back and answer a few questions. We'll do just kind of a short show today, but I want to kind of get everyone, let everyone know about Coach's thoughts about USC starting spring football. So back in a minute.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. Coach, let's start it off with a voicemail.
This question is for Ryan and the coach, Harvey Hyde. Coach, how would you handle judging your defense at USC in spring this year as a head coach when they're going against the best offense in college football? with a wizard at quarterback, they should always beat our defense, no matter how good the defense is. So what kind of things do you look for in the spring for improvement? Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Well, I think the first thing I'd work on is tackling. I would be a tackling football team. I'd be one that wanted to deliver the blow, not take the blow. I'd be one that wanted to wrap up and make sure the guy goes to the ground and let somebody else do the stripping portion of it. I would want to eliminate the extra yards that players get against us by missed tackles or not tackling the proper way. I would practice tackling live in the real situation. I wouldn't worry about, really, I hate to say this about injuries. We don't want injuries, but how do you learn to play the game of football and tackle? By doing it live in an open field or a closed area and teaching people how to do that, teaching quarterbacks how to slide, teaching people how to avoid injury, teaching people not to target people so they don't beat yourself. And you beat yourself when you miss tackles. You beat yourself when you target and get penalties. And you can't lose a quarterback as far as an injury like the Heisman Trophy winner you have. I'd make sure he's protected all the time. He doesn't have to prove anything to me, okay? That kid doesn't have to prove anything to me, I don't think, or anybody else. But I think the backup quarterbacks really should have an opportunity, and there should be a plan, and they should get a lot of reps. So if something was to happen to Caleb, they could win a football game. Not say, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh, my gosh, this is what's going to happen. We're ready. We're prepared. The kids have confidence in Miller, Moss, or whoever. And go out and do that. And I think you can build that up this spring. And I think that your quarterback, Caleb, is almost like another coach on the field. Yes, he's going to get his reps. Yes, he's going to throw the football. Yes, he's going to be in shape. But, I mean, I'm going to keep this kid in shape so he doesn't get injured. But I'm going to make sure he doesn't get injured, but he doesn't have to prove anything to me, okay? What he has to do is we got to get our team ready as far as for the future, as well as if something happens to him. So that's the first thing we're going to do. And the second thing I'm going to do, we're going to run the football. And I'm going to prove to everybody that I believe in the football as far as running the football. We're going to run the football with different series. We're going to move the pocket. We're going to protect our quarterback. We're going to bootleg. We're going to have passes off our bootleg. If necessary, we're going to go into double tight and have the victory formation and push into the end zone. We're going to do the things that we need to face in any type of football game to win that or get that first down. And we're going to be damn good at it, too. And I would not stop a drill until I was satisfied with that drill. And if we had to do the drill over again, we'd stop. We'd forget the next drill. We'd really do this period over. So the kids understand the importance of all the drills you do during practice. I used to do a drill when we never even took the football on the field during our first period because I said, if you can't line up properly and you can't cover motions properly and you don't know the formations properly, how in the hell, why do we need a football out here? But you can't even line up properly as far as coverages, right? So there'd be a period of time that I would make sure that they all knew the coverages. They all knew what to do in the motions. The offense would come out, run all their formations, and the defense with all their coverages would have to learn that so that they felt confident that when the ball came out and they snapped the football, they knew what to do. They didn't have to learn about all the formations and what I do in the coverage and so on. They were ready to play football. So I think you can't be, you assume a lot too much that kids remember everything and they know everything. And you try to teach in the classroom as far as in videos and chalkboards and all that. But you don't learn that way. You learn looking at something on the field, performing it, and getting used to doing that. So I used to say, less time in the room, more time on the field, and let's get it done and so we all feel confident about it. But that I would learn to become a football team, do more physical type of activities, don't worry about the things we're good at, improve on the things we haven't been very good at.
Yeah. Real quick before we have a couple more questions. I just saw a tweet from Ian Rappaport and also Tom Pelissero, so guys that cover the NFL. Tom Pelissero originally said that Andrew Voorhees, he's a top 100 prospect for the NFL draft, feared to have suffered a torn ACL during drills at the combine on Sunday, per his source. But somehow Voorhees did the bench press the following morning, which would be Monday morning, and pumped out 38 reps of 225 pounds with one leg on the ground. And then Ian Rappaport followed up with, it's a clean ACL tear for Andrew Voorhees, a source said. Then he did the most reps in the combine this morning after the injury. So just a really unfortunate situation with, you know, Voorhees tearing his ACL. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the draft or anything. I mean, he'll be, you know, he'll eventually be on an NFL team, but pretty impressive that he put out 38 reps, Coach, after that injury.
Yeah, it is. It really is too bad. But, you know, you work so hard to get ready for that. And that's one thing about the combine. Some people don't want to perform in the combine, especially when you know where you're going to be taken high. But some guys that are on the bubble are working as hard as they can to impress people going up or going down. You know, myself, you know, I think the combine's a waste of time. I think it's great to see the players out of uniform and be able to test them and see how high they can jump and how fast they can run. But I'm more interested to see how fast they run with a football uniform on, or how high they jump with a football uniform on, or how they perform with a football in their hand. I'm not interested in recruiting a track star or a basketball player. I think it's great to know who you're going to recruit. But again, you know, I mean, let's face it, Voorhees has had a history of injuries, right? We know that. So he just, you know, it's just too bad. He goes and tries, and here he's now, he's injured in it, you know. But I mean, yeah, there'll only be two or three guys that this happens to. But I think the combine is good. But hey, they spend $1 billion. How many times do you have to watch a player to decide if he can play or not? How many times? I mean, I think they just have money to spend money. They don't have anything else to do. I really don't. They pretend, well, if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it. The way I understand it, I don't know if this is true or not, I understand the Rams don't even go to it. Now, I don't know, but I understand that. So, you know, I like to see it when they're on a football uniform on it, when they're having to block a guy that's coming at them full speed. You know, that's the way I look at it. It's nice to be fast and so on, how fast you are when you're carrying 10 pounds worth of equipment. You know, equipment affects some players more than others as far as how they carry that equipment. Some people can run the same speed. Some people slow down. So, you know, those are some of the things I look at. I mean, you know, there's all, they're all sitting in the stands. They all got their computers and, you know, they got all their electrical equipment and look busy as hell. And, you know, who knows?
Yeah. All right. We got a couple more questions. Dan, class of 62, says, can you discuss the relative power of the NCAA versus the Big Ten and the SEC in college football? Does the NCAA still have power to keep a college from playing football for a year like they did with SMU? Can they take away scholarships like they did to USC? If the NCAA no longer has that power, I would applaud that, because the NCAA was always much too political and catered to those schools who had representatives in the NCAA hierarchy. An offensive lineman in the NFL stated that the offensive line coach at Alabama had paid him regularly while he was at Alabama, and Saban got no penalties. I'm so glad that USC is now in a true power conference. Fight on. Dan, class of 62, and he says, P.S., Marion Morrison, better known as John Wayne, quit the USC football team because he had to choose between college football or a movie career. Glad that current players can do both.
Yeah, it is. They used to work at the studios, if you remember, on their summer jobs. And the NCAA said, oh, no, you got an advantage because they used to pay him pretty well. You can't work at the studios. That's not fair. That's not fair. You have an advantage over all these other schools, you know. Well, hell, buy those guys all John Deere tractors and let them go out and do that, you know. They don't have to go to those schools. They can go to the school they want to go to, and if they're good enough, they go to SC and work in the movie studios. If they can work in the oil fields, which I know down in Texas, those guys used to go out and work in the oil fields and make big time money, really, in Oklahoma. So some advantages in areas have more for kids to do and make money than others. But you see, now it's still the same way. It's still the same way, except it's interpreted differently, okay? So yeah, I don't know if whatever you want to hear. I just don't like subsidizing college football players. I think college is something that you pay a price for. You have to learn to sacrifice to get something, and you have to accomplish something to learn something, and you have to learn about loyalty, the things for a team, a university, and it stays with you forever. I mean, some of these kids, what university are they going to be attached to as far as they say, I went there? Some of them went to a lot of different, I don't know. I'm old school, guys. I think a guy should be able to have a great summer job. But now, really, how many great summer jobs can kids have because they go to school year-round? Kids are graduating and after 3 years and then getting their MA degree and so on. That was unheard of before, unless you had a redshirt year. And then you were able to graduate in 4 and get another year of education and so on. But today it's a whole different deal. I don't know how that all works academically where they can do these things. The guys are getting their MBAs and still playing college football. I think it's great. I wish I could have done that. But I don't understand how it all happens.
Yeah. And real quick, the NCAA is still the NCAA. Like, they still oversee everything. They run, you know, the presidents.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no change in power structure with that. Like, the Big 12.
No, they're still around.
Yeah.
Jerry Tarkanian used to say it the best. He says, when North Carolina got in trouble, they put Cleveland State on probation.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's exactly what he used to say. That's exactly what to say. Until they decided that USC was a target because they were winning too much. Pete Carroll's winning too many national championships. So they decided it was USC's turn.
Yeah.
So they came in with that ridiculous send the Heisman Trophy back, do this, do that, stay off of campus. I mean, please, guys. Those guys, hey, really, some of you guys might be administrators, okay? But, man, I don't know how you got there.
Yeah. Crazy. One last one.
Crazy.
Rick,
crazy.
Yeah. Matt Leinart actually did an Instagram story because it was Reggie Bush's birthday a couple of days ago, and Matt Leinart did an Instagram story about Reggie needing the Heisman back and stuff. So still people talking about it. Rick in Los Al, he says, quick question, maybe just me, but seeing Gary Patterson out there floating around, is there a reason he hasn't been retained as an assistant or at least a well-paid consultant? Recruiting and defense can only advance and lock in a formidable coaching staff. Fight on. Go Time Camp. Come fast enough. Lovely show. Thanks, Rick and Los Al. He says, you're going to love our QB. Malachi Nelson, the Los Al quarterback, is coming in there. What, Gary Patterson was on the Sark staff, right? The Texas staff,
yeah.
As a consultant. I mean, I think he's probably a highly paid consultant there. But I haven't heard anything else about him lately. I don't know if you have, Coach.
He was there. I think he left. I don't know where he went. But he was being considered, I know, for the UNLV job at one time. And Barry Odom got it from Arkansas. But he was up for that job. I think he was one of the finalists in that job. But I don't know what happened after that. No, I don't.
Yeah, he was, well, at least his Wikipedia page still says till present. So he came there last year. He's a special assistant to the head coach. But yeah, I don't know. Oh, wait. No, he's gone. He has actually gone from Longhorns football. So he's, okay. So there's a story just recently. Let me look at this real quick. He's stepping away from college football. The former TCU coach turned special teams, special assistant to the Texas head coach. Steve Sarkisian is now a good time to explore some other avenues in his life. Okay, so that was just a couple of days ago, so maybe that's why the question came in. But, yeah, it looks like he just stepped away. So
yep,
we'll see.
I didn't know.
Yeah, maybe he emerges somewhere else. But all right, Coach, well, good quick show, and looking forward to seeing you out there on Wednesday and getting your thoughts next week on what you see. Copious notes and let us know everything you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing you, Ryan, and all the guys, you know, our regular sandbox crew. Say hi to everybody. Watch 15 minutes, 20 minutes of practice. We all form our own opinions and then share it with our listeners. And you write a lot of columns and so on and get a lot of information out there. And then again, I probably won't show up again, I'm being honest, until the spring game. because I don't need to watch people stretch, okay? And I mean, I think if that's the way they want to do it, that's fine with me. Every coach has his own way of doing things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it hurts, I think, the publicity. I think the people that really want to know about USC football, and makes it harder on you. You have a website, a service. I think it makes it harder on all of us to try to share what we see with all of our listeners out there that don't have the opportunity to go to practice. Or if they went to practice, they can't get into practice because they're not letting anybody in. So something I don't agree with. And I used to love people at my practices because I thought the kids practiced harder, okay? And there isn't any secrets in football. If my guy's better than your guy, I'm going to beat you, okay? So if I'm doing a decent job. But different people have different philosophies, you know?
All right, Coach. Well, good stuff. It was good chatting with you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week and everyone else out there. Thank you so much for listening to the latest edition of the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.